On the line now, I have Lorraine Bull. Lorraine's a development officer at the Irish Wildlife Trust. Good afternoon, Lorraine. Welcome to Near FM.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all, Lorraine. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Not at all. Good to talk to you.
No worries. We'll talk about, firstly, the event you have going on tomorrow out in Portmarnock, rock pooling. For me, rock pooling, when I was a kid, just involved a little bit of a net and scooping her in and see what happened. Is there a bit more intricate than that?
Yeah, basically we'll be going down to the rock pools there, the high rock kind of around Portmarnock, to actually be talking about the marine ecosystem and also the ecosystems that are in rock pools. And then we'll actually be going in, like we all did as kids, with nets, and then actually seeing the species we can find. But what we'll be doing then is talking about those species and how they all interact together. And we can collect some samples and then actually look at some of them in trays, like the hermit crabs. The last time we were there, we got some great response from the hermit crabs that were all interacting with each other. So it's really just a good way for people to know about the rock pools and how actually important they are, and then actually to learn about all the animals that you find within the rock pool and how they all interact. And it's just a really easy way to look at an ecosystem that's working. So,
yeah. I suppose, you know, we've, as I said, as kids, without, right, you'd see the old little crabs in there, everything else. But is there all manner and means of kind of fauna and wildlife and all to be found in rock pools? It's not just crabs. What else is kind of lurking in there?
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. So starting off with kind of the plankton, which is the things that we can't see without a microscope, and also bacteria. They're actually all the foundation there in the rock pool. Mm-hmm. And then moving on from them, then you have the likes of limpets, you have barnacles. Now, when we actually see them, they're solid to the rock, but limpets will actually move once the water's actually in, mm-hmm. and they'll defend themselves. And then depending on the rock pool, you'll have hopefully some starfish, you'll have some anemones, which are the little, they look like little beaded jewels when the water's out. But when the water's in, actually their tentacles all come out and they actually feed. Oh. You should hopefully get some shrimp in there as well, and then you'll have different crab species and maybe some starfish. It really depends. Each rock pool can have different fauna in it, including fish as well. Sometimes we're lucky we get to see the fish, but they're very, very good at darting away and hiding.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
But no, they really are very intricate systems, and the things with them as well is that when we get to see them when the tide goes out, the whole area has been compressed, so all of these animals have to live in a very, very confined area. Mm-hmm. And then when the water comes in, they can then all spread out, and the interactions will actually change. But it's a really good way. Like, it's very difficult to go further out into the sea and actually to bring people to show them what's happening.
Yeah.
But it's just great. And around Dublin in particular, we have an awful lot of, good rock pools and stuff that's going on.
Yeah. So, I suppose it's something we probably just kind of took for granted down the years, you know, is it? And we don't really take the time to really, really think about what's happening right on our doorstep.
No, I mean, you know, it's one of the things, that's why we do, as part of the work of the Wildlife Trust, we do education as well as our campaigns. And we run other events as well, and part of it is all about education and just children and adults as well, and just talking about the wildlife that we have around us and how we can appreciate it, because then once we understand and learn about the animals that are there, we then are more inclined to want to protect them. So.
Yeah. So that's, anyway, that's the event, the rock pooling in Portmarnock, which is happening tomorrow. What time does that kick off at?
It kicks off at 11, mm-hmm. That's high tide, and the event lasts for about 1.5 to 2 hours. It depends on the group that comes along and how much interest. The weather's looking good for tomorrow, which mm-hmm. is good.
Yeah.
But if people want to come along, you can get in contact with me on our website. I've got the full details, or they can contact us here at the Trust.
Yeah.
But if people want to come along, and if they could bring some wellies with them, because we will actually be going into some of the pools.
Yeah. Don't turn up in flip flops.
Well, you can come in flip flops. Flip flops are ideal because they'll dry.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't want to get your feet wet,
then I was thinking more of just clambering over the slippy rocks. You know, people need to be a bit sensible.
Yeah, no, we're going to be making sure that we don't. We don't go climbing over too far. It's just literally, that's the site of Port Marnock, actually. It's great because you can actually just walk in through the pools.
Yeah,
And then you can come back out again as well. So.
Okay, so sounds like it's going to be a great day. And if anybody's interested and wants to get along, head on down there. You're meeting places just between the Martello Tower and Malahide Football Club there, yeah?
Yeah, there's like a little lay-by.
Yeah, I know the
which
one.
Which overlooks... there's an area, you've got sort of low rock, which is the Port Marnock sandy beach, but this is a bit further up, but towards the Martello Tower. It's got high rocks. It's the place where I guess people would go diving from once the sea is actually in. There's like a concrete walkway, which people then actually go out and swim in.
Oh, so I know the one. There. Yeah, yes, I know exactly where you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, just along there. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure it'd be great. The Wildlife Trust itself, I suppose us living in a big city like Dublin, we think of wildlife as being out in the country and stuff like that. But, I mean, it is literally all around us. I was driving, I don't know where I was driving last week, and a fox just ran across the road right in front of me. And, I mean, again, you don't expect to see a fox in the city. I mean, you see them the odd time. I can't remember where it was. It was dark, and I was just driving down this road, and my wife says to me, "Is that a fox?" And I says, "Yeah, I think so." So the wildlife is all around us.
It is indeed. I mean, within Dublin, the Phoenix Park is amazing for wildlife because it's such a big park, but even smaller areas. But there's an awful lot of, if you go out late at night, and if you're even just sitting in your car and you don't have your lights on, you can sometimes, like around Colestra and Artane and even South Dublin as well, is brilliant for seeing foxes.
Mm-hmm.
Badgers are also in and around the Dublin area as well. Now, we don't always get to see those. Sometimes we get calls from people who have badgers in their back garden, and there are some of the parks that would have them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're much, much harder to see because they're just so frightened of humans.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we do have a myriad of wildlife, and in Dublin in particular, say along there, even across, say, from Coolock and then going down to Baldoyle, once you then hit the coast as well, down around Bull Island, we have a myriad of bird species that visit us throughout the year. And not a lot of people realise that it's got the same protected status as the Serengeti. So it's a really, really important area and habitat, even within the Dublin Bay area, and that's why it's now been classed as a biosphere.
Yeah.
Walking through the parks, you'll get lots and lots of birds. I mean, St Anne's Park there in Raheny is great for seeing an awful lot of bird life, and then all around the north side of Dublin as well as the south side is really, really good for wildlife.
Yeah. I just wanted to... The foxes in particular, I mean, foxes are getting a bit of a bad rep, especially the way they're turning up in urban areas. Are they just a little bit misunderstood at the minute? I know they got a bit of a bad rep in the press in the UK and over the last year or so. Are they just a little bit misunderstood? Are we a little bit just afraid of them?
The fox really, the urban foxes seem to be braver than the country ones because obviously in the countryside the fox populations there are used to being shot at. You know, if foxes are seen, obviously farmers may have a tendency to shoot at them, and in an urban environment that doesn't happen. So they have been, I guess, a bit more desensitized towards us humans.
Yeah.
But also as well... They get used to seeing us around, they get used to seeing our cars and things like this. This time of year in particular, we're more likely to see foxes, and this is when we even get a lot of phone calls about foxes, that people are concerned about them.
Mm-hmm.
Foxes at the moment, foxes that are born this year, they're all starting to search for new territories. So you'll tend to see them out much more during the day. And young foxes in particular will be quite inquisitive. We've had calls from kind of garages, like car garages, that are concerned about foxes and things like that. The main thing to look out for with a fox really is if there's any disease, the animal is diseased, and then contact the likes of the DSPCA or some of the animal rehabbers that might be able to come and treat that fox. There's some debate about cats and foxes. Like, we get phone calls from people who own cats who are mm-hmm. concerned if there's a fox. But in general, any of the research that's been done is a cat will actually win. So if there's a fight between a fox and a cat, the cat will generally win. So if you have cats, unless they're very, very elderly, you don't need to be worried. Dogs can sometimes harass foxes.
Yeah.
So there could be a crossover disease, but it's quite rare. But general for people, it's if the fox is digging up their garden, or if the fox is kind of pooing all over their garden, or things like that. But in general, like, foxes will look at us. They see us as a predator.
Yeah.
They see us as possibly attacking them, and so they will actually back away.
Yeah.
It's more if you get a family that are in the garden and they're used to seeing you every day and you don't harm them, they might be more inclined to get a bit closer to you. So, yeah, they are quite a misunderstood animal. Yeah. They've got a really important place in the ecosystem, and they get rid of an awful lot of rodents, which are attracted to food and things that we have lying around. So,
yeah. That was the thing, I mean, because there was seeing stuff around the place, people scaremongering about foxes attacking young children and babies, and none of that's really, they're more afraid of us than we are of them, like most species, I'd imagine.
Yeah, a lot of those cases from England, one of the cases seems to have been linked to a child having a finger kind of scratched or bitten by a fox, but then unfortunately there's actually been a few videos that have gone round on the likes of YouTube, and one of those has actually been set up. It looks as if there's a child in a pram, but it isn't. It's actually an old piece of meat which has been wrapped, and unfortunately that's more from the hunting side, where they've actually want to show a very aggressive side of a fox.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say to anybody, any wild animal, and this isn't just foxes, I mean other animals as well, if you try and trap them at home, or if you try and corner them, they will get scared and they will have a tendency to bite.
And defend,
And it's the same with seals as well. I used to volunteer at the seal sanctuary years ago, and we'd always say to people, if you see a seal pup on a beach, don't attempt to pick it up, because it thinks you're trying to kill it and it will bite.
Yeah.
So you know yourself, if you're getting attacked, you'll defend yourself if you've been cornered. And it's the same for any wild animal, really.
Yeah.
So a fox is no different.
Yeah. So, like, all kinds of information and all kinds of wildlife in and around us. There's one more thing I'd just like to ask you about, because we're getting to that time of year now, and I've just seen the whole increase in it in the last couple of weeks. Spiders. People are getting all kinds of scared of spiders, and they keep maintaining that they're getting bigger and there's millions of them and they're all going to eat us. It's the invasion of the spider people. Spiders aren't really a threat to people in this country, are they?
No, there's a spider called a false widow.
Yeah.
Which is, we don't know how it's kind of gotten across, whether it's but there does seem to be increased numbers of that. But the problem with that is there seems to be more false reports of false widows than there are false widows. But no, the majority of spider species here in Ireland, well, all of the spider species here, have not actually adapted the fangs to be able to pierce our skin.
Yeah.
So they don't pose a threat to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we get in the future, if we get warmer weather, and we get, say, invasives or non-native spiders coming in,
mm-hmm.
But we don't have, like the likes of Australia, we don't have the spider species that we need to be careful of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, spiders love damp. So, like, I live out towards Skerries, and it's perfect for the spiders. And there's a massive one in my shed that I just leave alone.
Yeah, that to me seems to be the best advice, is instead of running around with brushes and aerosols, cans, just leave them alone. They're not really interested in you.
well, generally, if I have a spider in the house, I'll generally just get a cup and a piece of cardboard, and I'll put it back outside. But no, there does seem to be much bigger spiders, or maybe they're just reports of much bigger spiders.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're brilliant for getting rid of insects and flies and things.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I think what they've seen as well, as much as you said about the video of the fox, there's been some very clever photography used to make spiders look huge. And this puts the heebie-jeebies up everybody.
Well, they can grow pretty big. I mean, you know, as I say, I have one in my shed, which is very large.
Yeah.
and I leave it alone.
That's...
and there are some spiders that I know people that were born up around Monkstown and places, and they actually would even click at them. If they went near the spider would actually click.
Yeah.
So there are an awful lot of species of spider here, but in general, you don't see them.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Again, they're not really interested in humans. They're more interested in fleas and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, general, I mean, you know, an animal or a spider will be frightened of us. We would be a large creature and would create big shadows and they would generally run from us. I think it's just the fact, because they move so quickly, we just go, ugh.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay, Lorraine, listen, thanks so much for just giving us all of that information. The Irish Wildlife Trust, if people wanted to get involved, how did they contact you?
The best way is you can have a look at our website. We've got all the information about the work that we do, and we also have an events page on our website as well. We've also got a really, really active Facebook page, and within Dublin as well, we have a Dublin branch. Mm-hmm. So the rock pooling event tomorrow is part of the Dublin branch, and we also have a green drinks event each month, which is a talk. And then we hold other events as well. So have a look on our website or get in contact with me at inquiries@iwt.ie. And if you want to find out more about our events, we've done bat walks recently in the Phoenix Park, and we're hoping to hold another one of them before the winter sets in. And we have various other events that run both within Dublin and also around the country. So down on the Bull Island, up in Port Marnock, and also Southside as well. So there's a range of stuff you can get involved. And the majority of the events, they're all family orientated and everybody's welcome to come along. So.
Sounds absolutely brilliant, Lorraine. Listen, thanks so much for talking to us today. And we wish you best of luck with the event tomorrow. I hope it goes well. And everything you do. I just reading interestingly here that you have a magazine that you send out to members. Is that a monthly, weekly magazine or whatever? If people become members, they get the magazine.
We're a membership based organisation. So you have a membership subscription. There's individuals or there's family memberships. And we have. For our members, we have the Irish Wildlife magazine, which is our quarterly. It comes out four times a year.
Okay.
And that's kind of taken the place of Ireland's Wildlife, which was a magazine that was out here years ago. We also have a children's magazine as well. So we have children's memberships and we do quarterly children's magazine. So I'm actually just written the latest one, which is all about migration and talking about the birds that come here and the birds that, you know, depart for the summer and how they actually migrate. Or we have sums on hares or seals. So we have a range of topics that we also cover in our children's magazine as well.
Excellent. Well, as I say, it all sounds absolutely fabulous. And as I say, people in Dublin, you know, if you think wildlife doesn't happen here, it does. It's all around us. And the more information you get, the better. Lorraine, thanks so much for talking to us today. And sure, we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
You're really welcome. Thanks for that.
Thanks very much, Lorraine. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
There you go, folks. That's Lorraine Bull from the Irish Wildlife Trust.